You know, just like God keeps working with us, he kept working with Gideon until Gideon could finally, after all of his trials of faith and trials of doubt and insecurity and all that kind of thing, he could confidently tell his little band of 300, you know, get up. The Lord has given the Midianites in camp into your hands, you know. And when God sent, you know, Jesus to earth, Jesus was fully trusting his Father, that his Father was with him. And that's the main point, that God be with us in our journey. God be with us in the spiritual warfare that we have to do. And by following Jesus in complete trust, we are like little Christs. That's what the name was given. Let's see if I can pronounce it. Christianios. Christianios is what the word Christian was given to by pagans, actually. Not by the Christians didn't develop it, but the pagans developed that name, Christians, for us. And so we sort of adopted it. But as Christians, as little Christs, we represent him. And Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. He says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassador, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you in Christ's behalf," or on Christ's behalf, "be reconciled to God." So Gideon, in a sense, represented what Christ was doing. And the way he was leading us in spiritual warfare. So he sort of took on that role of trusting that God had sent him, that God had sent him and was with him, just as Christ did. So in a sense, he typified Christ. I mean, we wouldn't say he was like Christ a lot, but no, he was a type. He was like a symbolic illustration of Christ by leading his 300 soldiers the way that Jesus leads his church into spiritual warfare. So when God is with us, and this is my main theme here, when God is with us, our obedience to him brings Satan's defeat, brings evil's defeat, brings down the dominion of darkness in our spiritual warfare. So the secret of Gideon's victory is similar to our secret for spiritual victory. We must unite to follow the Lord's leadership. And they had to unite to follow Gideon's leadership, and we must unite to follow the Lord's leadership. In verse 16 and 17 of chapter 7, dividing the 300 men into three companies, he placed trumpets and empty jars in the hands of all of them with torches inside. "Watch me," he told them. "Follow my lead. When I get to the edge of the camp, do exactly as I do." Those instructions are so much like what Jesus gave to us. But this thing about unity, this thing about being united, being one church, you know, there are disagreements that divide the Holy Catholic Church that we pronounce in the Creed. And it divides it into three companies. It's funny, in this story, there are three companies that were divided, that the whole army was 300 were divided into. And we're divided into three companies generally, the Orthodox, the Roman, and the Protestant. And we look at that and we say, yeah, there are other divisions, but basically those three are big ones. Those are three big divisions in the church. And I think when we get to heaven, there's going to be some tears that we're going to shed, that God will have to wipe away some tears of regret that we divided over things that were not as important, human ideas that were not as important as we thought they were in the church's division. And during our times of earthly spiritual warfare, we're called by God to keep the unity of the faith in the bond of peace. That's what God calls us to keep the unity of the, it says the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And it's really the Holy Spirit that brings that unity by pouring out his love into our hearts. And we do this in a practical way by putting our trust and our main focus on the creeds that keep Christianity together. And they're outlined in the Apostles' Creed. Instead of our pet doctrines, because sometimes those pet doctrines are elevated to the point where they cause division. And the creed, it really outlines the faith once delivered to the saints that we're supposed to maintain. But beyond confessing the creed, beyond confessing it, we must follow Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, as we confess. And he's the one who is the supreme leader of the Holy Catholic Church. There's only one church, and he's the leader of it. His body, his bride. Well, we look at this in Gideon, and he said, "Watch me, follow my lead. Watch me, follow my lead." We're to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher and perfecter or finisher of our faith. And you know, when Peter, he was walking on water because he stepped out of the boat to when Jesus was walking, he was going to Jesus. He only began to sink. He only began to sink in the stormy water when he took his eyes off Jesus. And that's what happens to us too sometimes. We're walking in stormy seas and we sink if we take our eyes off Jesus. And Gideon said this, he said, "Do exactly as I do." You know, Jesus told us in John 14, 12, "I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing." You know, that's a verse that when we come across it, we say, wow, that's really something. But that should be our creed, and that should be our deed. We need to do what Jesus was doing. Because the battle that he won on the cross began a spiritual warfare that has not stopped. A spiritual warfare that we're engaged in right now has not stopped. It's still going on. So I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints. Faith in Christ creates one communion of saints. And God is with us by the Holy Spirit to set the one Holy Catholic Church in a militant stance, against which the gates of hell cannot prevail. And that's our spiritual warfare. When God is with us, our obedience brings Satan's defeat. Christ defeats Satan on the cross, and he's given us the tools to continue that. And that's why we must keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And we must imitate his strategy. And we see this a little bit in verse 18 through 20. "When I and all who are with me blow our trumpets, then from all around the camp, blow yours and shout for the Lord and for Gideon." Gideon and the 300 men with him reached the edge of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just after they had changed the guard. Now, this was at nighttime. They blew their trumpets and broke the jars that were in their hands. The three companies blew the trumpets and smashed the jars, grasping the torches in their left hand and holding in their right hands the trumpets. They were to blow. They shouted, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." There's a lot of symbolism here, I think, because when Gideon's 300 blew their trumpets, they were actually doing something symbolic that's all through Scripture. When God gave the law, there were trumpets blowing over that mountain that was shaking with fire. And the trumpet sound got louder and louder and louder. When Jesus comes back again, it's going to be at the sound of the archangel's trumpets. And whenever they were to go into battle, here's what it said, and this is what ensured that they would have a sure victory when they blew their trumpets, is Numbers chapter 10, verse 9. When you go to battle in your own land against an enemy who is oppressing you, sound a trumpet on the sound a blast on the trumpets. Then you will be remembered by the Lord your God and rescued from your enemies. We don't usually use trumpets, but let me tell you, when they were blowing those trumpets on the day that they marched around the walls of Jericho seven times, and then they blew the trumpets, those walls fell down. And there's something about the announcement of God's presence by a trumpet. And really, he is with us. And then again, they held up torches. When his 300 men held up the torches, it confronted an army with physical light. But as far as we're concerned, we're called to spiritual warfare, and Jesus calls us to hold him up because he is the light of the world. And that's our spiritual warfare. We don't fight in a battle like this. We actually hold up the light. We hold up Jesus. And that's our spiritual warfare. Here's what Jesus said in 12:46, that same area of scripture. I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in the darkness. Our spiritual warfare is against the kingdom of darkness because people are held bound there and they need to be set free with the light. And then when Gideon's 300 shouted a sword for the Lord and for Gideon, it gave a divine lesson to us. You see, it was the Lord and Gideon. Even though the Lord was the power, we have to be there. We have to show up. Our bodies have to be in the place where God wants us to serve if we're to serve and release his power. And so this is a divine lesson for us in earthly work, that God joins his power being with us. He joins himself to us. He wants to send us the way that Jesus was sent, because that's how Jesus was sent, with the power of God to do the work of God in his incarnation, in his body on the earth. John chapter 20, this is a famous passage too, verse 21 and 22. Again, Jesus said to the disciples, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And when we think about this, someday there's going to be the archangel blowing the trumpet and all of the spiritual warfare will be over. But for right now, we must lift up Jesus. Just as Gideon's soldiers lifted up those torches, Jesus is with us. And he's the light of the world. So we have to remember this. When God is with us, our obedience of holding up the light, our obedience to Jesus brings Satan's defeat. This is spiritual warfare. And that means that we must stand wherever God places us. Verse 21 and 22 of this chapter 7. While each man held his position around the camp, all the Midianites ran, crying out as they fled. When the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other with their swords. So really, they didn't really have to fight at that point. They just blew their trumpets and held up their lights, and the Lord went to work. And the really important thing about this that I'd like to bring out is that Jesus is sending us as the Father sent him. We do spiritual battle by holding the position that he puts us in, standing in the position that he puts us in. And, you know, we have to say, "Oh, I don't know if I'm in the Lord's will." Let me tell you, wherever you are, in a lockdown even, you're in the place where God wants you. He's positioned you. You need to hold your position, stand holding up the light, stand shouting, you know, for the Lord, the sword of the Lord, and Gideon too, because he's putting us together to do this, to the spiritual warfare. And when we obey his orders prayerfully, we stand our ground and let him work through us. It may not look like warfare. We say, oh, is this warfare? I mean, I'm just standing my ground. I'm just praying, you know, but it's his way to bring victory. You know, in 2 Chronicles, there was an episode that was sort of like this. And here's what they said. Here's what the Lord said. He said, you will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions. This is second. If you want to look this up, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 17. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions. Stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out and face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. This is repeated over and over about the Lord being with us. And so we don't have to be discouraged. You don't have to fear. This whole story has been about that. And when Gideon's 300 unitedly took their stand on that ground, the Midianites, they ran crying out as they fled, it says. And when Jesus did spiritual battle, you know, the demons, they cried out too. In Mark chapter 1, verse 23 through 25, just then a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, what do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Be quiet, said Jesus sternly, and come out of him. You know, they were crying, they were trembling because the Son of God had appeared, you know, and they were being cast out. And we need to stand our ground. Our spiritual enemies, they know who Jesus is. They know who Jesus is. And if we obey the Lord by following his lead, by lifting him up as the light of the world, by standing our ground in prayer, then they'll know who we are too. You know, there was a demon in the book of Acts, chapter 19, verse 15. And he was speaking to some exorcists, some Jewish exorcists who didn't follow or obey Jesus. And here's what he said to them. And they got really chased out of there. But anyway, he said, Jesus, I know, and I know about Paul, but who are you? We don't want to say, have any demon say to us, well, who are you? If we are standing with Jesus, if we are obedient to him and holding him up as the light of the world, if we are standing our ground in prayer, then the demons are going to know who we are. We're aligned with Jesus. And Gideon's story, it teaches us about spiritual warfare. That's what the whole point, I think, of the story is for us. And we're like he was sometimes. Sometimes we feel feeble. We feel insecure, sometimes doubtful, sometimes fearful. And that's just in our own eyes, because in God's eyes, from his perspective, what does he call us? Mighty warrior. That's what he called Gideon, who didn't look like a mighty warrior. Maybe we don't look like mighty warriors, but that's what God calls us. And that's what God calls us to, because Jesus was a mighty warrior. And Jesus said, follow me, as the Father sent me, I am sending you. So we look at what Jesus did. God is helping us, just like he did Gideon. He's helping us to grow spiritually, to have confidence in him, to hold on, to know that God is with us, and know that we're to follow his lead, we're to obey him. And what is Jesus doing? What is the work that Jesus is doing? It says he was sent into the world to destroy the works of the devil. Well, that's what we're called to do. What are the works of the devil? Binding people up and keeping them, you know, keeping them in bondage to sin, to bad attitudes and things like that. Well, we have the power through the Lord Jesus Christ, by holding up the light has set them, helped set them free to destroy the works of the devil. And Jesus said that he would be with us. He would be with us as we follow him. I mean, if we're lagging behind, we're not with him, but he will be with us to get us to follow him, so that when God is with us, our obedience to Jesus will bring Satan's defeat. And that's basically all I really want to share, that we want to defeat the enemy, the one in darkness that is binding up some of things in our lives or in our loved ones' lives or in people around us. We do not war against people. We do not fight or argue against people. We do battle against the spiritual powers of darkness in the heavenly realms that are trying to manipulate. So when we know that Jesus is with us and we obey his lead, we're going to see Satan's defeat. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this whole passage about Gideon. It's just amazing about his life, Lord, how that you blessed him and that you helped him in the midst of his doubts. He had so many doubts. He had so much fearfulness, and yet you stayed with him. You stuck with him. And Lord, thank you so much for sticking with us. Sometimes when we seem insecure, when we seem doubtful or fearful, you've stuck with us. You've given us your promises. You've strengthened us by the word. Sometimes just opening up a hymnal and singing some of these songs that just lift our spirits, they help us to get that confidence back so that we can follow your lead, so that we can lift you up, Lord, the light of the world, and let people see that light and stand our ground in prayer to make the demons tremble, but Lord, because you are with us. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.